I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. This hour, we're going to be talking about the important moments from this morning's testimony by former FBI Director James Comey before the Senate Intelligence Committee. It was about 2 hours and 45 minutes of testimony. Comey indicated that he had taken extensive notes on each of the meetings that he had with President Trump, partially because of the nature of who this man was, the sensitive information that was being given to him, and sensitive conversations. And also, he said, interestingly, at the meeting on January 6th in Trump Tower, that he didn't think that the president would be truthful about the nature of the meetings. It was a wide-ranging testimony this afternoon. They will be going into closed doors to have further testimony from James Comey. He did not extensively during this morning's testimony, but he did say there were things that he couldn't answer in an open setting, but he would be answering this afternoon. So I'm sure many of you were listening. We did coverage here on Wisconsin Public Radio, and it was all over television today as well. So many of you watched this pretty carefully, and I'm sure we'll have comments about what you learned, what you thought of the testimony, and we will be welcoming your phone calls. We have a guest who is Sean Zeller, who covers Congress, politics, and Washington as deputy editor of Congressional Quarterly Magazine. He hosts Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call Friday Week Ahead podcast. Previously worked at PolitiFact, Government Executive Magazine, and National Journal. He is with us this hour to talk about the testimony, and we're very interested to hear your thoughts about what you heard, what you saw today. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we are on Twitter, and that's at K Dunn Show. Sean Zeller, hello. Thanks very much for being with us, sir.
Thanks for having me on, Kathleen.
I'd sure like to hear what's going on this afternoon, wouldn't you?
Sure thing, but we can't know. Those intelligence briefings are classified behind closed doors, and they'll get into the details of the investigation that former FBI Director James Comey could not discuss in his open testimony.
It was interesting when he talked about the fact that this was the only president, Donald Trump, that he had to document because I guess you could say he didn't quite trust that Donald Trump would recall their meetings in the same fashion he would. He even said that he might not tell the truth about this because of the sensitive nature of these conversations and because of the shocking nature of some of the things that happened. He had to make sure that he documented this, but he didn't do it with other presidents with whom he worked.
That's right. James Comey had worked for the two prior presidents, for George W. Bush and for Barack Obama. And you put it quite gently, he thought Trump would lie about their meetings. That's what he said in his testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started documenting what was said, beginning with that January 6th meeting at Trump Tower. He also noted in his testimony that his amount of contact with President Trump was quite unusual, that he'd had 9 personal contacts with President Trump. And he contrasted that with only 2 during his entire tenure with Barack Obama.
The nature of this whole investigation is pretty serious, and sometimes we get a little bit sidetracked by all of the details and the unwinding of what's happening with all these meetings, et cetera. But the chair and the co-chair mentioned how serious this was, that the Russians actively attempted to and did get into our election, got into very important information, even got into, although Comey said that he didn't think any votes were altered, that there was an attempt to do just that. And this is pretty serious. This is not a friend of ours. This is a big thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you look at the public opinion polls, a lot of Americans don't believe that there was Russian interference in the 2016 election. But this hearing, it made it plain. Former FBI Director Comey said he didn't want any fuzz about that issue. That was the word he used, that it was that the Russians did interfere, that it was an act aimed at subverting our democracy, and that it was very serious. And the Senate Intelligence Committee members are taking it seriously. And it's refreshing in that, with all the partisanship up on Capitol Hill, that this one committee, both the Republicans and Democrats, are leading a serious investigation.
Mm-hmm. What were the high points? What were the things that you learned this morning that you said, oh, I didn't know that?
Well, I think the main issue that came out of the hearing was the question of whether President Trump's discussions with former FBI Director Comey and his ultimate decision to fire him constitute obstruction of justice,
mm-hmm.
obstruction of justice into obstruction of the FBI's investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election. And there was some debate about that. I think the Democratic senators on the whole were trying to play up that angle, that Trump's interventions, his request that Comey give him his loyalty, his request that Comey drop the investigation into his former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, that those might constitute obstruction of justice. But Republicans took a different line on the whole. An example was Jim Risch, the Republican senator from Idaho, who stressed that Trump had asked Comey or told Comey that he hoped he would drop the investigation into Flynn. Risch put a lot of stress on that he said hoped. He didn't order him to do it. And Comey acknowledged it much, although Comey said that coming from the President of the United States, he took it as a directive.
Mm-hmm. And I believe he was, tell me if my memory is right on this, that he was asked about whether or not he thought it was an effort to obstruct justice, and he wasn't sure about that because he didn't know the intention of the president. Is that right?
Yeah, he said that. He basically ducked that question. He said that, you know, this should be something for the new special counsel. And if you'll recall, after Comey was fired, the deputy attorney general, Rod Rosenstein, who's was at that point in charge of the Russia investigation because his boss, the attorney general Jeff Sessions, had previously recused himself. Rosenstein had appointed Bob Mueller, another former FBI director, to be a special counsel, taking over the investigation. And so what was notable that came out during the hearing is that Mueller is looking into this issue of obstruction, that those memos that Comey took after his meetings with Trump have been handed over to Bob Mueller. And that indicates that he's looking at him, that mm-hmm. he's considering whether these meetings and what was said by President Trump constitute obstruction.
And Comey gave those memos to a law professor, a friend of his at Columbia University, to make sure they would get out with the intention of forcing special counsel?
Yes, that came out during this hearing as well, and that was a sort of a blockbuster development that Republicans fixated on and are sure to fixate on going forward, that, you know, why was Comey leaking the sort of information to the press through a third party? It turned out the third party is Daniel Richman, a professor at Columbia University in New York City. And this all went down after Comey was fired on May 9th. Comey was very angry by the shifting explanations that Trump was giving, first that he'd fired Comey over Comey's handling of the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails last year. Trump later revised that to acknowledge that it was about the Russia investigation. And in addition, Comey was very angry that Trump had said Comey had lost the confidence of the FBI and the agents there.
Mm-hmm.
He got quite emotional about that. And so he said he woke up in the middle of the night, you know, after that firing, and decided to hand over this memo to a friend who would then leak it to the New York Times.
Hmm.
And so that's certainly a blockbuster development. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about that from Republicans going forward.
Mm-hmm. It was actually pretty moving, his opening statements, when he was defending himself and the FBI, that it was a lie, he said, plain and simple, that it was poorly led, that the agency was in disarray. The FBI is honest, strong, and independent, he said. And also, and this was kind of touching, because if you don't get a chance to say goodbye to all of the people you work with, that's kind of a sad thing. And he seemed to be genuinely quite sad about that.
Yeah, I mean, he, you could see maybe there was a tear in his eye, or maybe
yes.
He was a little bit choked up about having missed the opportunity, because, of course, he was not in Washington at the time he was fired. and there was no chance for him to have a goodbye party. And it did seem like that was something that really troubled him and was driving his urge to get his side of the story out.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the January 6th meeting when he realized, and I think that was the first of the memos that he started taking because of the sensitive nature, the nature of the man he was giving this information to. It was the Steele dossier, wasn't it, that he was letting him know about? And when he was asked about this and whether or not he could confirm any criminal activity that was outlined in that Steele dossier, he said that he couldn't answer that in an open setting. It was not a definitive answer that there was no criminal activity.
No, it was not, but I don't know if we should read anything into that.
Really?
I feel like that's standard operating procedure that asked a question about that. I mean, you mentioned the Steele memo. This was something that came out in the press earlier this year. It had very salacious allegations against President Trump, allegedly gathered by Russian intelligence during Trump's visits to Russia in the past, where he had engaged in nefarious activities. All allegations, all unsubstantiated. But they were reported in BuzzFeed and later in other news organizations because the memo had been circulating around Washington. It apparently had originated with one of Trump's Republican opponents in the primary elections last year and had been making the rounds in Washington. The Justice Department, the FBI, knew that it was going to be reported in the press. And so on January 6th, they went to Trump to brief him on it. Trump, of course, has denied those allegations vociferously. He did at that meeting. But nonetheless, Comey was unnerved even at that point. Perhaps part of that, another thing that came out during the hearing was that Michael Flynn, the first Trump national security advisor, was under criminal investigation for his involvement with the Russians. He had briefed the Russian ambassador on the possibility of lifting sanctions once Trump was in office. And Flynn was later fired for that. But we know from from Comey's testimony that Trump was aware of the criminal investigation into Flynn before his inauguration and nonetheless brought him on as national security advisor, in which post he had access to the most top secret classified information that the United States government has.
Which is pretty unusual, isn't it, to have your national security advisor under criminal investigation and remain in the job, having access to what you just talked about?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly, was an eye-opening development to find out that, the level of knowledge that Trump had and still went forward with bringing Flynn on. And later fired Flynn because he hadn't been straight with Vice President Mike Pence about that discussion Flynn had with the Russian ambassador on Russian sanctions. But the Comey testimony today indicated that the FBI's investigation goes beyond that discussion between Flynn and the ambassador, that it also there are other elements to it. He didn't get into details, but other elements of Flynn's involvement with Russia.
Mm-hmm. And you also have to ask, what's Flynn's involvement with Donald Trump, which didn't come up today? Many of the Republicans asked again and again, you have to tell us, and Comey did say this, although he had not a straightforward response once, as I recall, the president is not under investigation. The president is not under investigation. Is the president under investigation, Sean?
We don't know the answer to that. We know that the FBI is investigating Russian interference in the election, and as part of that, the possibility of collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians, because the intelligence community has said, the FBI and the CIA and other intelligence agencies in the United States government have said that Russians' interference in the election was aimed at helping President Trump, then-candidate Trump, win. And so the question is, did Trump collude or did his campaign collude? We don't know whether the investigation is focused on aides to Trump during the campaign or Trump himself. And Trump, that goes to the root of what Trump wanted from Comey in these many meetings they had and phone conversations. He wanted Comey to come out and say publicly, as Comey was telling him privately, that Trump himself was not the target of the investigation, that it was broader. And Trump kept pressing this issue, and Comey refused over and over to make a public statement that Trump was not under investigation. He gave as an explanation for that, Comey did, that if it turned out that their Russia investigation uncovered information about Trump and collusion with the Russian government, and Trump then became the subject of an investigation, that they would have to go, the FBI would have to go public with that, that they would have to say, we're now investigating the president. We said before we weren't, but in fact we are. And that would indicate that they'd discovered something and, give a clue into the progress of their investigation, which of course they're loath to do when they're in the midst of them.
There's also this, and tell me what you think about this, this real deep concern about Michael Flynn on the part of the president. And so you've got that meeting and the bizarre series of events that Flynn is resigned, and then you've got the Russian ambassador and the foreign minister meeting in the Oval Office, and you've got Comey being fired the day before. And all of this conversation about, you know, I hope you can see your way to dropping this Flynn thing. He's very concerned, the president is, about Michael Flynn. Why do you suspect that's the case? And when Comey testified today and when asked, why were you fired? Well, it was from what the president said, because of this Russia investigation, which the president did say. We heard him say that. How do you explain all of that? His worry about Michael Flynn?
Well, it's impossible to say for sure. What the president would say, I think, is that Michael Flynn was a ally in his campaign, had influenced Trump's foreign policy positions during the campaign, and that they became friends, and that he feels Flynn is a good guy, and you know, if he made a misstep, it was honest, and that losing his job was enough of a punishment. But the other side of the coin is, you know, is Flynn is under criminal investigation for his potential ties to Russia, and is there some more up the food chain, other people in the Trump campaign or Trump himself who might be implicated in that? And so it gets to some of the key parts of Comey's testimony, which were after the January 6th meeting, they had another January 27th dinner at the White House, which Comey didn't realize was going to be a one-on-one dinner with no one else present. Comey said he'd canceled a date with his wife when Trump called at lunchtime that very day to organize the dinner. And at that dinner, Trump had asked for his loyalty, and Comey said he felt that Trump was trying to establish a patronage relationship between them, which would be unusual in that the FBI director, though he can be fired by the president, he's an at-will employee of the president, he has a 10-year term created by Congress, which is supposed to give the sense that he's independent and ward off presidential interference. And that was followed on by the February 14th meeting at the White House, which Comey also found to be very unusual, at which it was a regular national security briefing. But then Trump cleared the office, had all the other people leave, and asked Comey directly to drop the Flynn investigation. And this really, I guess, weirded out FBI Director Comey, who then asked the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, to not allow him to be left alone with President Trump going forward.
Well, let's ask the audience what they thought of today's testimony and any questions they have, their thoughts about Comey's testimony and all that was brought up, and what questions weren't answered that you would like answers to, and who else you'd like to hear in public testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee. Our guest this hour is Sean Zeller, who knows what he's talking about. He covers Congress, politics, and Washington as deputy editor of Congressional Quarterly magazine and a host of, he is the host of the Roll Call's Friday Week Ahead podcast. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. A couple lines are open for you, so get them right away. Facebook is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Leave your comments there. We like to read them, and everybody likes to read everybody else's comments. We're on Twitter as well, at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network. Okay, lots of phone calls coming in for our guest, Sean Zeller, and let's start with Stephen and Cable. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
I'm wonderful, thank
Good.
You. It's a comment, not so much questions. I'm a retired military or Army investigator. I've spent 9 years in Afghanistan and Iraq as chief of party or director of compliance, and when I ask for loyalty, you know, the question is, I expect loyalty for you to do your job, to make right decisions. You have to make the hard right. And watching this testimony today, I really thought that the former director stumbled several times, but he said, I will promise you my honesty. So if you're going to promise your honesty, everybody on a new job has a learning curve. And he could have been use that honesty card to say, Mr. President, I have to be honest with you. This is how this situation works, unless I need to come and see you about an imminent threat, a national security emergency. But, you know, just to ask for somebody for loyalty doesn't say he can feel how he wants, and I'm not going to take away his feelings, but he is a seasoned investigator,
mm-hmm.
and he should have stood up. In my opinion, he should have stood up because I don't think Donald Trump is all that intimidating.
So
he's a new man on the job, and I think that, you know, a lot of people should, you know, give him that leeway, and they have a little responsibility to train him. That's my comment.
Yeah, but Stephen, let me ask you. So he should have said what to the president? What would have been?
If he's going to clear the office and Trump drills him on direct questions, probably he said, Mr. President, I need to be honest with you. I'm uncomfortable with this,
mm-hmm.
and this is the reason why I am uncomfortable. And who could refute that?
Mm-hmm.
Being honest with me. That's what you said you were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, this is a very delicate situation, but and I know that President Trump, you know, has that New York attitude, but you know, he still deserves a little bit of a learning curve, and if somebody's going to say they're going to be honest with him, that's what they should.
Yeah, honest loyalty, I think, is what the phrase he used. Sean, what do you say?
The caller makes some points that Republicans have been making today.
Mm-hmm.
Speaker Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, during this testimony, came out and said, you know, look, President Trump is new to government. He's new to this, and there's a learning curve. During the hearing itself, you had Republicans raise these issues about why didn't FBI Director Comey come right back at Trump and say, no, I can't promise you my loyalty. The FBI is an independent agency. I need to be independent. Susan Collins, the moderate Republican senator from Maine, raised that point and kind of indicated that Comey had not come off well. He'd attempted during these meetings with Trump, it seems, to find ways around the awkward conversations without confronting them directly. And Comey, I think, acknowledged as much. But Tom Cotton, the Republican senator from Arkansas, who's been a Trump ally, he noted that during Comey's service to George W. Bush, there was a controversial situation that had come up where top officials in the administration had disagreed about an NSA, National Security Agency, surveillance program, and Comey had prepared a letter of resignation. And in this instance, Cotton asked, did you do that this time around? If you didn't feel you could serve this president and be honest with him, did you prepare a letter of resignation? And Comey said he had not.
Well, he had also, you have to look at what happened before. He had been assured by the president, by President Trump, that he was doing a fine job, and he had no reason to believe for the first couple months that his job was in jeopardy, did he? I think he thought that President Trump thought he was doing just splendidly.
Yes, there were mixed messages coming from President Trump. President Trump repeatedly asked, starting with that January 27th dinner, which was their second one-on-one meeting, had asked for loyalty, and that had led to let's drop the Flynn investigation. That had led to phone calls in March and April where, again, President Trump had said, let's get out the news that I'm not personally under investigation. Let's state that publicly, please. And let's lift this Russia cloud over me. And Trump is saying,
right,
look, it's making it impossible for me to cut deals on Capitol Hill but with this Russia cloud over me. And in the midst of that, in the midst of these demands or requests for sympathy from Comey, Trump is also peppering that with, look, you're doing a good job. I've been loyal to you. You know, we're in this together.
Right.
So it's sort of you see Trump, the deal maker, at work, where he's flattering, but also trying to cajole and get something from someone.
Stephen, thank you for your interesting question and comment. John in Madison, hi.
Hi. Well, I watched the hearing this morning. The one thing that bothered me was after President Trump tried to solicit a pledge of loyalty, which he really didn't get from the FBI head. He then, over a period of months, kept asking for reports on whether the investigation had led to him, whether he was being directly investigated. And one, I wondered, is that appropriate for a president to pose a question like that to the head of the FBI when he is a potential person of interest? And also, because if he would have said yes, the president could have gone into a protective mode, assuming he is involved in some way. Secondly, it could also be taken as over a period of months he was trying to elicit a reaction from Comey, such as, don't worry about it, Mr. President, it'll never go in that direction, something like that, or indicating to Comey that this is the way he wanted it not to go.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder how you took that.
Well, you're right. There was an exchange during the testimony, you may recall, where Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma, a Republican, said, you know, Trump's been really clear that he thinks this investigation into the Russia issue is malarkey and that he has nothing to do with Russia and that it's just a trumped-up partisan witch hunt. He said this on Twitter. He said this publicly numerous times. You know, how is that any different than what he told you in these meetings? And Comey made it clear that he thought there was a big difference, that he thought it was inappropriate and made him very uncomfortable.
Thanks very much for your call, John. Our number is 800-486-8655. James in Janesville, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. First of all, I'd like to say that I think it's great that, you know, we're questioning this man, you know, as much as we are. And I think that we should all be honest and do that with every president, just to be careful about how much power we feel, you know, the people should give our president. The other thing is, I want us to be honest about, you know, the testimony that Comey's giving. So, you know, when I believe the gentleman said before a couple callers ago, he said that Trump then turned to Comey and said, asked him to drop the Flynn investigation. He didn't say that. So, again, I think it's we should be honest about what's actually being said if we want to be honest with each other.
Right. This is what Senator Jim Risch, the Idaho Republican, was getting at, that the issue, what Trump said was, I hope you will drop the Flynn investigation or something along those lines, the key word being hope, Risch said, and that's not a directive. Comey said he took it as a directive, but he acknowledged that that was not, in fact, you know, Trump had not used direct language.
And thanks, James, very much for your call. We are talking about James Comey's testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee this hour of the program. Our number is 800-486-8655. Love to hear what you thought about it. Our guest is Sean Zeller, who covers Congress, politics, and Washington as deputy editor for Congressional Quarterly Magazine. It did go into the email investigation of Hillary Clinton, and this had been brought out in the press, but Comey talked about the meeting between Attorney General Loretta Lynch and former President Bill Clinton at the tarmac at the airport is being really, really important in his decision to reopen an investigation, to go public with all of this.
Yeah, this was an interesting side issue that came up in hearing otherwise about President Trump's firing of FBI Director Comey. But just, you know, a few months ago, it was Democrats who were livid at Comey for announcing that he was reopening that investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails and her use of a private email server and possible mishandling of classified information during the 2016 campaign, just a week before the presidential election. Hillary Clinton has said that she thinks that is what cost her the election. So Democrats were livid at James Comey about that. And today he's up on the Hill and Democrats are, you know, treating him very well, and Republicans are treating him, you know, more skeptically. But Comey came off well on the Clinton email point. He got a chance to explain why he did it. And that was, as you said, that he was very troubled by Attorney General Loretta Lynch having this meeting with former President Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton's husband, in the advance of the election, and felt like it was compromising the FBI's investigation, Attorney General Lynch, of course, being his boss. And he also mentioned that Attorney General Loretta Lynch had asked him to call the Hillary Clinton email investigation a matter and not an investigation, and he found that to be ludicrous. And so that's why he did it, I guess. That's his explanation for why he felt he needed to come out and tell the country that Hillary Clinton's emails were still being investigated. Although he also said that they had determined that there was no criminal case to be made there.
Mm-hmm. Rich in Rhinelander, hi.
Hi. I had to listen to the hearings on my car radio because I had a dentist appointment this morning. But at one point, one of the senators did ask about what Attorney General Sessions had to say on the matter, and as I listened to it, I was driving, so maybe I wasn't concentrating all that much, but I think he said nothing, and he sort of gave me body language that indicated, what would you expect me to do, or what am I supposed to do about this? And I'm simply reacting to earlier callers who said this president has a learning curve. Well, we all have a learning curve, and we have lots of people around us who can teach us things, but it struck me as extremely odd that the Attorney General of the United States of America, who is an even more seasoned political figure than James Comey, would not have taken the president aside and said, sir, these matters you're inquiring about are totally inappropriate. I find it difficult to believe that it's James Comey's responsibility not only to head up the FBI, but also to teach a 70-year-old man who has the power to hire or fire him what he's supposed to be asking about in the Oval Office.
That's a very interesting comment.
Yeah, we haven't heard from Attorney General Sessions, Jeff Sessions, the former senator from Alabama, about what he has told President Trump or what he said, if anything, after that February 14th meeting in the Oval Office where the president cleared the office and met one-on-one with Comey and asked him, said he hoped that he would drop the Flynn investigation. That was where Comey afterwards told Sessions, I can't meet again one-on-one with the president without anyone else there, and Sessions didn't respond. Now, Sessions, of course, was the only senator early on, the first senator, one of the first members of Congress to endorse President Trump during the campaign. Senator Sessions, when he was representing Alabama, was well known for his opposition to immigration, his keen concern about illegal immigration. So he shared that with President Trump and, you know, developed a close rapport with the president. One of Sessions' top aides went on to be, Stephen Miller went on to be part of the Trump campaign and kind of served as a warm-up act during Trump's rallies. So there are close ties, and it does raise the question, you know, does anyone have the ability to influence President Trump in his actions if Senator Sessions cannot?
Mm-hmm. I can't remember the exact questioning here, and it's important that I get the exact questioning here. But somebody was asking Comey about whether or not the vice president was aware of, I don't know if it was just concerns or about the criminal investigation of Michael Flynn. Also, was Attorney General Session aware of, was the question the criminal investigation of Flynn, or was it just concerns about Flynn? And I believe that Comey said that the vice president would have been aware. I don't know if he was as specific with Sessions.
Yeah, this was a line of questioning that Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, a Democrat who's kind of an iconoclast on the Intelligence Committee, asked. And, you know, I think it gets at this point that the caller raises, you know, what are the people around Trump doing? You know, a lot of these were supposed to be the adults in the room, the people who have a lot of past government experience. Mike Pence, of course, having been a representative from the state of Indiana in Congress, later went on to become the governor of Indiana. And when he was chosen as vice president, it was seen as, you know, this is going to be someone who can build bridges between Trump, the political neophyte, and the Republicans in Congress, particularly the conservative Republicans in Congress, whom Pence caucused with when he was a member.
More phone calls momentarily. We watched the hearings. Thanks very much, Rich, for your call. The hearings this morning, James Comey testifying before the Senate Intelligence Committee. He's testifying now, too, but we don't know what he's saying because it's a closed testimony this afternoon. Analyzing what we heard today is Sean Zeller, who covers Congress, politics, and Washington. He is deputy editor for Congressional Quarterly Magazine. And we're delighted to have him with us. He obviously listen to this very, very carefully, as did many of you. Welcoming your calls, 800-486-8655. And our Facebook page, we'd like to read what you write about this morning's testimony. So that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. And we're on Twitter at KDunnShow. This is the Ideas Network. And we go back to phone calls. Let's go to Alan in Milwaukee next. Hi, Alan.
Hi, how are you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Today. One of the things that I noted was a lot of the Republican senators that were questioning Comey seemed to keep coming back to the issue of whether or not Trump was a target and the questions that the president brought up to Comey repeatedly as to whether or not he was a target. And one of the comments that stuck out to me that Comey said, and it wasn't necessarily in regard to that, but he talked about how in a criminal investigation, when you're turning over rocks, you never know what you're going to find underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted the guest to comment on, does it really matter if Trump was a target? Because in the course of turning over all these rocks, if his name shows up, he'll be caught up in the investigation. It sounds like that's how Flynn got in there in the first place and how potentially numerous other people may be getting drawn into this investigation due to their ties with Russia. Thank you. I'll hang up and listen for the
Thanks
response.
So much for your call, Alan. Sean.
Sure. That's the point Comey was making. That's why he said, I did not want to go out there and make a public declaration that President Trump was not under investigation. He acknowledged that he had told Trump that privately. But that, Comey said, was merely was the result of the fact that they were really just beginning this Russia inquiry and that nothing had come up to indicate that Trump had done anything wrong. But in the course of investigations, you find out new information. And he didn't want to have to go out and revise what he'd said if he told the public or Congress in testimony that Trump was not under investigation. And then later some evidence were to come up that launched an investigation into the president, he felt he would have had to go out and revise what he'd said publicly and tell the world that, oh, in fact, we are investigating the president. He said Trump just didn't get that.
One of the senators at the end of the hearing, or close to the end, was talking about this act by Russia, very serious, hostile act by Russians, the Russian government, against our country. And the purpose of the hearing is to find out how extensive it was and what we should do to protect America, because Comey said it's going to happen again, it's going to happen again, it's going to happen again. Were there any indications that there was all this information presented in a very thorough fashion to the Trump administration? There was to the Obama administration. Was there to the Trump administration, and did they essentially ignore all of this information?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, a question that comes up is, you know, we're fixated on getting to the bottom of whether and how the Russians interfered in the 2016 election, how far it went, and whether Americans were implicated. And Comey said, you know, wouldn't it be a grave offense if we discovered that Americans had helped the Russians
right.
do this. But what's not part of the discussion, and what's really lacking, I think, even since the news came out, since the intelligence agencies confirmed that Russians had tried to interfere with the election, is an attempt. What can we do to stop it going forward?
Right.
You know, there was some minimal action by President Obama at the end of his term where he imposed some sanctions. He closed a couple retreat vacation houses that Russians diplomats use here in the United States, saying that they had been used for intelligence activities. And that was part of the whole thing with Michael Flynn, Trump saying, you know, Flynn indicating that they would lift those sanctions. And the Russians didn't retaliate as a result against the sanctions Obama had imposed. But it doesn't get to the heart of the matter, which is, you know, cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And Congress has really done very little to plug the cybersecurity holes that we've seen not only in the election, but before that. I mean, if you recall, the news through much of 2015 and 2016 was about hacks into corporate computers and release of personal data of customers of companies.
Right. Let's go to Ron next in Poinet. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I'm calling about the issue of loyalty, and President Trump asked Comey if he would give his loyalty to the president.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that really upsetting and kind of nonsense. You give your loyalty to your country. You don't give your loyalty to a person. As a matter of fact, it's your duty. As I recall, or if I remember correctly, it's your duty to expose people that are not dealing correctly or are dealing illegally. So he could not ever have given his loyalty to a person, even the president. It's his country. You develop a loyalty over a period of time with people you work with or fight with.
Yeah. And it's an independent agency. He can't declare loyalty to any. It's sort of like you can't be partisan, right, Sean?
Yeah, the FBI, of course, Comey acknowledged during his testimony that he knew all along that he could be fired by the president for any reason or no reason at all, he said. But nonetheless, Congress has given the FBI director a 10-year term, and the indication being from Congress that we want this person to be set apart. We don't want them to be tied to the term of the president that they're serving. And, you know, Comey had been FBI director under President Obama and then under a new Republican president, too. And it's not clear that Trump really gets that. He, after firing Comey, flirted with the idea of hiring former Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman to mm-hmm. fill the FBI director job, which would have been very highly unusual in that Lieberman was a longtime politician, had run on the Democratic ticket for president in 2000 and was not a career law enforcement person. And so ultimately that plan fell apart, but it sort of indicated Trump's mindset, and perhaps wiser heads prevailed, and Trump recently named a longtime federal prosecutor, Christopher Wray, to fill the job, who seems more in the mold of James Comey or Bob Mueller or FBI directors mm-hmm. of the past.
Ron, thanks for your call. Colin in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Sean.
Hi.
I was just wondering if you could talk about John McCain's question and answer right at the tail end of the hearing. And I was just trying to figure out what direction he was taking his questioning or where he was trying to end up. And I was hoping that you or the guest could shed some light on that.
Thanks,
yeah,
Colin.
It was very confusing. A lot of people have been confused by what Senator McCain was trying to get at, so I don't think you're alone in that. It seemed that his point was that Comey had a double standard, that he had acknowledged publicly that Hillary Clinton was exonerated, that there would be no criminal charges against her, but would not say the same about President Trump. And the confusion came in because, of course, we know that the FBI was investigating Hillary Clinton's emails, her private email server, and her use of classified information. But that seemingly that doesn't have anything to do with Russia and Russian interference in the 2016 election, whereas the Trump inquiry is all about that. So it seemed like two separate issues that McCain was conflating. And a lot of people were befuddled.
What did you make of the statement that a lot of the information that the press was given to the press was flat out wrong, and Comey wasn't specific about the stories that had been printed versus the information that has been correct about all of this? Do we weigh on the side of the press?
Well, yeah, it was interesting. Tom Cotton brought that up about a New York Times story and got Comey to say that it had been flat out wrong. But it seems to me like a lot of what we're finding out in the Comey testimony is confirming mm-hmm. things that we've already seen in the New York Times and the Washington Post, who've been the recipients of a lot of leaks coming out of the Trump White House, which are turning out to be true. And Comey himself, with his leak through his colleague at Columbia, was part of that. So the New York Times was able to very early on get inside the meeting
right.
that Trump had with Comey.
And who will we be hearing from next? Do we know, in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee?
I'm not sure what they have planned next. I mean, as you mentioned, they're having their closed-door meeting today. There's lots of possibilities, certainly. Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General, barely came up in the hearing today, but senators want to hear from him more, I think, about his role in the firing of Comey and his oversight going forward of the special counsel, Bob Mueller, because officially Bob Mueller works for him, Rosenstein. And the one question that did come up during the hearing today was whether Rosenstein had a conflict because he had gotten involved in this Russia inquiry and should step aside from overseeing Mueller.
Rachel in Racine, almost out of time, but we have time for you. Rachel, hi.
Hi. Mine is real quick. I just wanted to know if anybody else found it odd or ironic that the Republicans kept saying you should have confronted President Trump and said, you know, I feel uncomfortable, this is not appropriate, going back to that caller who said it's not Comey's job to teach the president how to do his job. But with the exception of Mr. McCain, none of the other Republicans have been able to stand up to Trump on their own. So if they're not able to stand up to Trump over various issues, how do they expect Comey to do that?
Sean, about 30 seconds.
Sure. Well, I mean, President Trump is a difficult man to control. I think his aides would love to get him to stop tweeting and the like. And certainly a lot of Republican members of Congress would like him to sort of serve as a more traditional president. There have been some, however, who've spoken out against him during the campaign. Many Republican senators have acknowledged that they didn't vote for him.
And he didn't tweet today. I guess his son did, but the day isn't over yet, huh?
Right. Donald Trump Jr. did that work for him today. He was very harsh in criticizing Comey and the senators who were taking up his line.
Hmm. Well, Sean, thank you. You've been so informative and extremely fair, and I hope you'll join us again. I enjoyed the hour. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Sean Zeller, our guest to go through, and he obviously watched this hearing very, very carefully. It was a long one this morning for 2 hours and 45 minutes. Comey in closed session this afternoon. Sean Zeller, our guest, covers Congress, Washington, deputy editor for Congressional Quarterly Magazine, and he hosts their Roll Calls Friday Week Ahead podcast. Thanks so much to Gretchen Brown for producing this interesting show and to Gretchen for on-air production. If you didn't get on the air, please go to our Facebook page and write your comments. This is a big day in American history, and we'd be interested, and you can write them down for posterity. And that's the Kathleen Dunn Show.